Morning.
You guys can turn your Bibles. 1 Corinthians. I noticed Emma Sue was in a pretty good spot for us to sing to her this morning, sitting right up here in the front. She'd get all that attention. I noticed she really likes that, so that's good. Quick comment about the public reading. You know, it's really interesting the way these things work. These sons of Korah, they were basically accusing Moses and Aaron of being arrogant, weren't they? You guys, you've gone far enough thinking you're the only holy ones. Moses comes back and lays out the case and says, you guys are the guys that have gone far enough. I'm tired of this. So let's let God decide. Well, God had already decided, hadn't he? Hadn't God already laid this out the way it was supposed to work? Then these guys refused to come. Brethren, humility. Humility doesn't mean taking a step back behind God. Humility doesn't mean stepping up and going in front of God. Humility is walking with God. Humility is doing what God has asked you to do. The most humble thing in the world, regardless of what anybody else would accuse you of. Scripture actually tells us in Numbers that Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth. One other thing I'll throw in for free. Lots of times people accuse others of what they themselves are guilty of. You want to be careful. Just a little, I do this myself. I've found that a lot with people. So I got a little check in myself. If I start thinking negative thoughts about somebody, okay, Wilson, what's your problem? Good place to start. Okay? It's not my place to start figuring out what everybody else's problem is. How about, let's start here. What do I got to work through that's bugging me so much about this other person? Sometimes it's the very thing that's bugging me about them. Okay? So, just throw that in for free. Alright, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all immersed into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them in the body, just as He desired. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now they are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our unseemly members come to have more abundant seemliness, whereas our seemly members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body, and individually members of it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your wisdom as the great Creator in the design that you have established through the creation. We're thankful, Father, in the spiritual realm that you are at work there as well. We ask that our spiritual eyes would be opened so that we can see you and see your plan. And Father, that we would each understand our role in the body. That we would recognize that we bring something essential to the body of Jesus Christ. And that then we would also understand there's a responsibility for us to do our part ask that you be with me today as I preach your word, that I'll be able to communicate it clearly, and that we can all come forth encouraged and edified and really committed to fulfilling our part in the body of Jesus Christ. I ask this all through Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, last week, we looked at the fact that there is one way into the body of Christ. And there's only one way. Now, I know there are people out there that are always trying to make that small gate bigger. Make that narrow way a lot wider. Instead of doing stuff God's way and fitting into that narrow gate, let's just make this easier for everybody. You make it easier for everybody, you're just giving people a pat on the back on the way to hell. We got to be honest about this. The Bible's true. Jesus is who He says He is. If we actually care about people, we're going to tell them the truth. And we're going to walk in the truth, aren't we? We're going to lead the way down that narrow path. So, that's what we hit last week. And today I want to focus on this a little bit more. If we are in the one body, now the question is, how do we work together as one body? A pretty amazing thing, you think about it, just looking around this room. We got some holes today, and I'll come back to that too. Some people are out of town, and some people are sick and stuff, but you look at this body. It's what maybe people would call a motley crew. A wide range of people, different abilities, different interests outside of Christ, different, completely different personalities. How do we all figure out a way to work together as a unit? Well, God uses the analogy here of the body. Sometimes my mind immediately goes team, and I know I'm a lot more sports-oriented than some of you guys, so I'm going to try to limit those team examples today. And probably a couple will come in, but we'll just try to limit it to that. But let's talk about the body for a second. God, when we look at this human body, anybody that's honest comes to a conclusion pretty quickly. There's a designer. There's a creator. There's a maker. Trina and I were talking a little bit this morning just about some of the amazing technology and things that we can do in the realm of health these days and the doctors. And why? Could we figure it out more and more? The way that this thing works, the way it's been designed, and then through the design of engineers, a bunch of people working together, we've been able to come up with tools and strategies to be able to imitate that, to be able to duplicate that to some degree. But the more we learn about this human body, the more obvious it is, there is a God. I've had one guy in particular I'm thinking of, pretty staunch evolutionist. He had a child born to him. He says, "Me and Luke, I got to tell you, something pretty miraculous about this whole life thing." I don't think that guy's pursued that. Doesn't want to dwell on that too much. But in that moment, when he looks at that, there is something miraculous. There's somebody who designed it outside of just, it's not just random chemistry. Yeah. Everything about the miracle of life, from conception through birth, and through all the way up through death. It's pretty amazing. There is obviously one who is the source of life. You think about the information coding of DNA. You say there is somebody who's the master of logical information systems. There is one who is really, really good at this. You think about the design of the human eye. And the great famous evolutionist, Richard Dawkins, has a book out prior to the God Delusion. He has one out called The Invisible Watchmaker. I'll tell you simply, I don't buy it. I do not buy it for a second. You don't get an invisible watchmaker. This did not come about without somebody designing this. And he uses the human eye because the human eye is amazing. He tries to say, this doesn't need God. Yes, it does, as much as a watch needs a watchmaker. But this human eye, the complexity of it, the way that it works, it allows you to see the one who does see everything. The complete synergism of this human body, the way that all the parts work together. Point me to the God who is able to bring unity to His creation. Even with all of that, with all that intricate design, there are still people who are so blinded that they deny the existence of God. I don't know how you can do it. I realize there's an agenda. And then there's people who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. But let's apply this spiritually. I think we need to open up our spiritual eyes a little bit. Let's apply this to what God calls His body. Didn't the same God that created that physically, that we can see and understand and recognize His nature, His ability to bring all this together, isn't that same God the creator of a spiritual body? That spiritual body that He would call His church. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1 real quickly. Just so you know, I'm not making this stuff up. Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23, it says, He put all things in subjection under His feet. That talks about God putting all things in subjection under Jesus' feet. Gave Him His head over all things to the church, which is His body. The fullness of Him who fills all in all. Now, I'll be honest about this. Everyone here today, I believe, acknowledges and recognizes the work of the Creator God in this physical, the design of this physical body. But what if my attitude is a little bit bad about the church? What if my attitude is bad about myself? There's actually two things that get mentioned here in 1 Corinthians 12, in case you missed this. One is thinking that there's no place for me in the body. And the other is saying there's no place for somebody else in the body. Both of those are dealt with. I'm not going to break it down. You can check back and read through the passage we read. There's two aspects. So one is, I don't think I have a place. You know what you're saying? God, You didn't know what You were doing. It's a translation. You carry this out. God, You didn't know what You were doing when You placed me as a member in this body. What about if my attitude towards somebody else in the church is wrong? You know what I'm saying? I'm challenging God, aren't I? God, why did You make me like this? Does the potter have the right over the clay? Yeah. God knows what He's doing. So this physical demonstration of God's creative ingenuity is there for a purpose. It's to communicate to us that in the realm of the spiritual, this same God knows exactly what He's doing to carry out the purpose that He has for us. And I want us to be clear right off the bat, number one, that sometimes on this team analogy, I'm saying God's the one that chooses the team. Who's going to argue about that? God brought every one of us together in this room, and we can multiply this across the world. Anybody that's a member of Jesus' true church, God has brought together, and He has a perfect way of choosing. It's not about how smart you are. It's not about how educated you are. It's not about how talented you are. In one sense, it comes down to this simple: it's how honest you are. And how much you love God and how much you want to worship Him. So, the dividing line, I think, scripturally is really clear. This dividing line, we saw it last week. Anybody that gets immersed into Jesus Christ, I'm just going to put it today, for the right reasons. I think you guys know what those are. Anybody that gets immersed into Jesus Christ for the right reasons, God places as a member in His body. So, you got a problem with that? You take that up with God. By the way, I'm not usually going to try to set myself up as the judge of somebody's motives. I got, in terms of why they are doing this. Some people don't do it for the right reasons, and that becomes obvious with time. But that's for God to sort that out. I know where that dividing line that God makes is. I'll stand on that one. I'm not going to go any further than that. I'm going to stand where the Scripture clearly stands. So, the flip side of this is everybody, or let's put it this way, anybody that hasn't been immersed into Jesus Christ isn't a part of the body, whether they want to be or not. The flip side of this is anybody that has been immersed in Jesus Christ for the right reasons is a part of the body. And so then we have a responsibility to figure out how to work together. I was talking to the young people in our Sunday school class today. And it's a challenge sometimes for young people to figure out how to work together. They need to figure it out though, don't they? Because you know what? That challenge doesn't go away. I was saying, you know, there's something called marriage. You're going to get married someday. Probably most of them will. And you're going to have to figure out how to get along with this person that you live with. There will be days that they might rub you the wrong way. And it's not an option to say, I don't think so. You're going to have to figure out how to work it out. Might as well start getting practice now. Brothers or sisters in a family. It's not a matter of, I'm just going to write you out. I'm not going to talk to you. And sometimes parent or family members don't talk for 6, 7, 10, 15 years. I don't understand that. Figure out. Figure out how to talk. Figure out, work your way through what you got to work through. What about in the body of Christ? That's the really important family, isn't it? It's not an option, guys, to not work it out. That's what I'm saying. We are here. God places here. God knows what He's doing. And if you don't want to step up and handle things the way you should, then you're challenging God. Let's figure out how to work together. That's the first part of this. God creates His body. Romans chapter 12. Kind of a recap of what we read here in 1 Corinthians. I want to hit it again. Second aspect of this I want you to think about is every single one of us has special abilities that have been given to us by God. Romans 12, verse 4. I'm going to start in verse 3. I'm going to actually read verse 3, make a couple comments, and then we'll get to verse 4. For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. So there is a warning, and this is good. This is guys like Korah. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Understand the rule God has for you, and be content to do that and do it well. I'm going to throw in this. This is my part from 1 Corinthians 12, and it's in there. Not in these exact words. But don't think more lowly of yourself either than you ought to think. Think so as to have sound judgment. Okay? Do you guys, everybody see that? Saw that in 1 Corinthians 12, that concept? Raise that hand, okay? Make sure you understand. There is a purpose. Okay? There's a part for every one of us. Don't think this reason or less a part of the body. Okay? No, every purpose, every person has a purpose. All right, verse 4. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. I'm not going to break down each one of these. What I want to communicate is that each one of us has gifts according to the grace that's given to us. One of the great challenges of life, I think, is trying to figure out how am I going to make my life count? How do I make sure that my existence here is not wasted? Well, the first part is figuring out, what am I actually good at? Some of us spend a lot of years of our life, just even apart from the spiritual, figuring out, what am I good at? God's given each of us some special gifts. We have a responsibility to figure out what we're good at and then use those for God's glory. Some years ago, Des Donahue gave me some online sort of deal. It was called Strength Builders. And you go through this thing and it'll gives you a list of questions you're going to answer quick. Kind of, it's not just a personality test, but it's similar to that. But kind of figure out what you're naturally good at. But the idea, and did a pretty good job. I think it assessed me pretty well. But their point in doing this, they're trying to get a bunch of companies to use, because so many times companies want to take you and they don't care what your natural strengths are. They hire you for a position and now they got to figure out, we're going to mold you. And they're finding things that they're going to change about you so that you can do their job. They're saying it makes a whole lot more sense. The idea behind this was actually to get companies to hire people with the strengths for those jobs. That makes a lot of sense, actually. So, the Lord, God knows what He's doing, doesn't He? Basically what I'm saying is, I'm not explaining this very well. I'll use me for example. Anybody that knows me knows I am not particularly mechanically inclined. I'm not very good at that kind of stuff. Now, I've had people say, come on, Luke, you can do it, you're not dumb. I'm sure I can do it. I'm sure that if I spent all my time, I could figure out how to get some basic things done. I could even probably become decent at doing those sort of things. But I'll tell you this right now, I'd never become exceptional at them. You know why? Because if I'm not naturally proficient at them, I don't have a natural strength there. If I had to, yes, I could figure out how to do them and become okay at them. But I would never be exceptional because I don't have those natural strengths in the first place. So it just makes sense. Why should I spend my life trying to figure out how to get good at something that I'm never going to be great at? Do you guys see what I'm saying? So let's apply that spiritually. We don't have to be just like everybody else. We need to figure out what we're good at and develop that and use it for the glory of the Lord. Every one of us has something. I don't have time today to even come close to going through everybody in this church. I did think about it. I thought maybe I should just preach this morning and just say what I see as a gift in each one of you guys. It would be kind of fun. I did something like that some years back, kind of. But I'm not going to do that today, but I do, you know, I thought of a few people that I just want to mention. Okay. And this is, because I mentioned a few, doesn't mean I'm leaving anybody out. Okay. It means everybody's gone, or just a few people I wanted to mention. I'll take the Simpsons, first of all. You know, you think about what Kevin Simpson is. This guy's steady. He's consistent. Here's a guy that he takes care of the church finances, and you know it's going to be taken care of right. He's going to keep them in check. No pun intended. All right? This guy does bulletins every single week. Every once in a while I have to do them. Okay? When he's gone. Once or twice a year. All right? He does these. It's a lot of time. This guy consistently teaches the adult Bible school class at, you know, at an in-depth level. He's steady. He's consistent. It's not going to... You're not going to walk in here first time on an adult Bible school class and say, wow. Hey, probably you're not going to come out and say, wow. That was amazing. You're going to say, boy, a lot of stuff went over my head. Hey, but you come in and you consistently get to that, you're going to learn a lot. Hey, these guys have had multiple... Kathy's worked in the school for years. They have people over their house. Hey, at least weekly for dinner. I know. I live down the block. Hey, it's something... These guys figure out what they're good at and they bring that to the Lord. I'll pick on Wayne Williams for a second. Wayne's a guy that if you need resources, who are you going to see? Oh, I need this. Oh, a creation evolution thing I saw one time. Where can I get? Oh, I can get that from Wayne. And that guy's quick to give it to you with a good attitude, isn't he? Wayne's a guy, he's got some abilities. He's going to be helping Mr. Donahue and I in terms of, well, he's going to be more helping Mr. Donahue on the targeting truth stuff. But here's a guy who's got some abilities. Figure out, how do I use that to further the kingdom? I'll look at Pat and Crystal Hopper in the back. These guys do the garden along with Dave. Okay, can I head that up? Crystal jumps in on Sunday school class. Just figure out things that we're interested in. I still haven't figured out how to get Pat to get up here. And not something that he naturally wants to do. I still think before he's, you know, I'm going to get him up here. But you know, that's not his natural. He doesn't have to be a guy that preaches from behind the pulpit all the time, does he? But find what he can do and use it for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. Again, I could go through a whole list of people. I'll use one other example. Austin's not here today, but there is a little bit of a gap for in the fellowship for the people that don't have families. See that and say, hey, let's make that happen. Hey, let's make sure that those guys have an opportunity to fellowship with saints instead of being out looking for fellowship with the sinners. There's a gap there. There's a hole there. Someone says, hey, I have something I can do. Bring that. So I want you guys to think about that. Every single one of us has something that we're good at. You might say, well, I'm not exceptional at anything. All right, we got the spot for you. Hey, on a basketball team, you're called the sixth man. That means you're the first guy at the bench, and you can come in for a few different positions. You might not be the starter at any one of them, but you can come in at that off guard, or you can come in at that small forward. That you can come in, you can play those spots and do it well. There are times that we got to step up. Somebody goes down. You got to be there and you got to be ready. Sometimes that's the toughest spot, to be the guy that's on the bench, if you will. Here I am, sports, trying to stay away from that. But to be ready when it's your time. You need to step up and be able to do that. So I want to ask you, what are you good at? Scripture doesn't really like it. I'll just challenge you. Read the book of Ezekiel. God did amazing things for Israel. Brought her out of nowhere. And then she went and she used those things for her own gain instead of for God's. God doesn't look very kindly on that. So I want you to think about, what do you have? What are you good at? Do you figure out a way to use that for the Lord? Every one of us, every day. Mike was talking about looking in the mirror. Look in the mirror and say, okay, how am I going to use what I got for the Lord? Every one of us. I don't know what each one of you does. I mean, you probably know what a lot of you do for work and that kind of thing. But every day, you decide, how do I make an impact for the Lord today doing what I do? Shouldn't that be our mindset? Isn't that why we're new created, aren't we? Newly created, new creations. These abilities God gave us, He wants for His honor and His glory. We got to do our part. And I remember something Frank Weller used to say pretty often. He said, we're only as strong as our weakest link. And that's true. That's true. One more sports thing. Some point comes down to you got to beat your man. You can have a good team, but you got to beat your man. We had that basketball league a few years ago with the guys. And one game, we were just worse than normal. And that was hard to believe. But people were kind of getting on it. I finally said, okay, no more help defense. Everybody is responsible for your person. Because you know what happens is, in something like that, let's say Roger and I are on the team, Roger's slacking a little, I go to help against his guy, guess who gets scored on? Me, right? So, guys, there is an aspect of the team, isn't there, that's like that. You have to do your part. The body, this is the analogy the scripture uses, this body has to work together and every part has to do its part. I challenge you, try tomorrow, say, I'm not going to use, if you're right-handed, see, I'm not going to use my left hand all day today. Should be piece of cake, right? Try it. How about as simple as this? I clipped my fingernails a little too short last time. They were getting a little too long. They were really bugging me. It's starting to look like a girl. Well, not exactly. But I got to clip these things. I clipped them a little short. I'm walking around the corner and slammed my hand. That hurt. Where was that fingernail there to protect me? Yeah, I could hardly use this index finger for a few days. Hey, you think fingernails, no big deal. Well, armpits. Do armpits have a purpose? Yeah. Sometimes I wish mine worked a little better. I get a little overheated sometimes. Okay? And you know what else? If you're out in the freezing cold, protect against frostbite. Get those hands up under there. Hey, multiple purposes for this. Okay? In the body of Christ, it doesn't matter what part we are. We have a responsibility to do our part, or the whole body is not going to function. It's not going to be effective the way that we need to be. 1 Peter chapter 4. You guys have heard me say this one before, one of my favorite from Proverbs. He who is slack in his work is brother to him who destroys. We've got to do our part. We care about the church and we want this to move forward. Every one of us got to make a commitment. I'm going to use one other one. One other example. Talk about finances today. You know, Romans did say, he who gives, give with liberality. I'm going to pick on Larry Miller for a second. Here's a guy that I know for a fact. Doesn't just give his tithes to the local congregation. He does do that. But this guy gives above and beyond to all sorts of missionary efforts. Larry's a guy, God's given him a good brain. He's good at what he does. He works hard. And he doesn't use that money just for himself. Gave me really screaming deal in a purple van too, so I got to tell him that. But you know what? Hey, that's something that not everybody knows about. Not everybody needs to. Now you all know about it. But sometimes some of the things that we do, what I'm saying is, nobody else knows. It doesn't change the fact that that makes the body go forward. We cannot accomplish what God wants us to accomplish unless every one of us does our part. Every one of us beats our guy today. Does that make sense? Sometimes we think it's no big deal. Yes, it is a big deal. If you don't do your part, the body will not get the work done that God wants us to get done. If you want to think of it as a team, we cannot be a championship team that wins the victory unless everybody is committed to it. Again, that doesn't mean you have to look just like me in terms of preaching and that kind of stuff. It's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you figure out what you got and you use that for the Lord and you commit to it. Do you think our coach knows? Do you think the Creator knows if every part of this body is doing its job? I don't ever think about these internal organs. But your kidneys decide to take a day off? Yeah, then you know about it. Yeah, that's right. Please don't do it for attention, guys. Don't take the day off so that the rest of us notice you. Okay? Keep working hard. Now, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another. There's that FUBU, I guess. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so as by the strength which God supplies. So then in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What's the ultimate purpose of the body? This isn't one of those deals where, hey, let's see if we can create a role for everybody in the church so that everybody's happy and everybody feels purposeful. The mega church do that and do it pretty well. We're not going to create a bunch of extra things. It's like kind of like the government creating jobs. I haven't quite figured out how that works. I'm going to create jobs. Really? How are you going to do that? The only way I can think of, and this, I digress, but I am going to throw this out there. I think about the big roundabouts out here. Got all this government money. We got to use it, right? Let's make these roundabouts. That's how we're going to create jobs. Where'd that money come from? Took from somebody else that had a job. I didn't create a job. That took from somebody else, gave some money your way, and said, oh, well, we'll make you work a little bit for it for a while. There's no such thing as creating jobs. That's just for free. The way jobs get created is you get out there and you work. You figure out with your mind, with your hands, whatever. But where was I at? I went way up. Oh yeah. What's the purpose of the body of Christ? Okay? This isn't just for... See, John, now you know why I can't get going on political stuff too much. Can't ever find my way back. But what is the purpose of the body of Christ? We're not trying to just find a role for everybody. No, there is an ultimate purpose, isn't there? The ultimate purpose... We are called the body of Christ. What was His mission? To seek and to save that which is lost. That is our mission. Do you understand? Collectively, we do this way better than any of us could ever do individually. It's a neat thing. Some of us had a little progressive dinner last night for a friend of Jeff's. The Jeff's getting interested in Christianity. Hey, that's fun. Hey, good opportunity. Get to know some other Christian people. Hey, it's a good idea. Jeff or Chantal or whoever did it. But you know what? Everybody had a little part to play in that. Hey, I think the goal is Mike Ferguson will get and do some Bible study with him. Awesome. Hey, but everybody that was there had a little part of that. Hey, our big picture overall. Do you think it matters if this church building gets cleaned? The church building is not super clean the way it is. That's when we clean, right? What if we never cleaned this place? Somebody comes to visit assembly and, whoa, what's this have to say about these guys' character? Right? This thing's making impact. Does it matter if the lawn gets mowed? By the way, we should think about this. If the dandelions get killed, okay? Makes a difference to our neighbors, doesn't it? What are we doing it for? It's for the purpose of seeking and saving that which is lost. Go with me to John chapter 15. Do you want the negative aspect of this? I'll read a few verses earlier in John 15. Basically, Jesus says, you don't bear fruit, I'll rip you out of there. If you don't fulfill your purpose as a member of this body, I will remove you and replace you. Okay? That's in case you need that motivation to get something going. Whew, in the back. All right, John 15, verse 8. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Don't we want to bring glory to God? How do we do this? By bearing much fruit, and in so doing, we prove to be his disciples. Brian, we work together. This is a team effort. Every one of us talks to other people. Some of us a lot. Some of us less. I picked on Jeff already. I'm going to one more time. I like this guy. Get to know him a little better. I haven't got Jeff up here yet either. I know I'm going to. It's not going to take you as long as it takes me on Pat either. I'm going to get Jeff. But you know what? Jeff talks to people. He talks to people about Christ. I like that. He's not a public booming guys, but man, he's going to get any good. All of us talk to people. Hey, Jeff even figures out, hey, this person, so-and-so, would be really good to Bible study with him. And so he tries to line up the right person to Bible study. Hey, that's smart. That's good. That's doing something. That's doing your part for the overall purpose of the body of Christ. Maybe we get somebody interested. Maybe we ask for the study. Maybe we lead the study. Or maybe we just join in. Okay? As number two. By the way, if you do that, please be interested. Okay? Don't say, I've done this before. I know this. I'm just be interested. Be a good. Ask some good questions. Put in some good input. Maybe we just go out of way to encourage non-Christians when they visit the congregation. Is that important? You better believe it. All of us doing our part to make this work. When each of us does our part, the result is victory. Victory to the glory of God. That's what the Lord wants. Maybe you felt unimportant. Ask yourself, who chose you? Who picked you for this team? Who placed you in this body just as he desired? Just as he desired. Does God know what he's doing? You're important. God doesn't make mistakes. So the question is, how can you contribute? What do you have to bring to the table? And then ask yourself, okay, how am I contributing? Make sure you're bringing what you have to the Lord. Hey, let's work together to fulfill the mission of Jesus Christ in Billings. And of course, that happens. We want that happening throughout the world. Our focus in general is Billings. It should be. It also extends throughout the world. That's true too. But how do we get this done? What's our theme? More souls to heaven? 2011. What can I do to be a contributor for that to take place? Let's stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise you. We thank you that you are our God. Father, we come before you as a congregation today with prayer and fasting, communicating to you, Lord, that we do care about the souls of those who are lost. Father, we come before you wanting your heart to be our heart, wanting your love for the lost to be our love for the lost. Father, strengthen us in this. Help us to not be those that just go about our business. Help us to get involved with others. Help us to extend ourselves, to stick our neck out. Help us to be willing to serve. Father, through all of these things, we know that people that are looking for something better, people that are tired, worn out, borne down, burdened under the load of sin and guilt and just all the different trials of this life, that by seeing us, as we represent you, as we're a reflection of you, that they realize that there is indeed hope. There can be rest for their souls. Father, may we work together. If there's things that, any barriers among any of us within the congregation, Father, I ask that we put those aside for the sake of you. Maybe it's not something we put aside, it's something we've got to talk through and work through. Father, we would make sure that we have those things resolved so that we can be united. We can be your body carrying out your work with nothing that's hindering us or slowing us down. Lord, help us to reach out, to remember the purpose for which you called us and the different things that we bring. We don't just go through the motions, but that we would remember every day. Why? It's for your honor, for your glory, to help others come to know about you. Father, as we have this mindset, we ask that you would open doors for us. You give us opportunities to step through, and that we take those, and that it would be to your eternal glory. We ask this all through Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I have decided.